I'm Jim Meadows with Illinois Public Media, and we're remembering Steve Shoemaker, who died Monday night after a 10-month battle with pancreatic cancer. He was 73. Steve was many things, including a Presbyterian minister and the host of Keeping the Faith, a weekly talk show devoted to religion and spirituality, which aired Sunday afternoons on WILL-AM from 1999 until 2013. Steve was also a poet. He began writing in high school and kept it up throughout his life. A few months ago, he collected some of his short poems into a book called A Sin a Week, which the cover described as a book for folks with the inclination and ability to do wrong but who have run out of bad ideas. I spoke with Steve Shoemaker about his book back in June, and here's an edited version of that interview.
The book is called A Sin a Week, so I have 52 sins that I try to describe in loving detail for folks who have the inclination and ability to do wrong but who've run out of bad ideas.
These are sort of, I thought, everyday sins. There's not murder or thievery or really spectacular blasphemy involved in any of these sins, is there?
Well, the sins I picked are the ones that I tend to have experienced personally, and I've never killed anybody, so I didn't think I could write about that very well.
So these are sins you have personal experience in?
There are sins I've experienced at least in two ways, either having felt them myself, done them myself, or known people who shared with me their experience. In counseling, pastors often hear confessions.
Well, tell me about this poem you wanted to read.
It's called Be a Racist, and it's a limerick. We racists know we can't treat laws like a joke. We'd all go to jail if we kill all those folk that we hate and we fear, but we secretly cheer that if I'm a cop, I can beat, shoot, or choke.
So that's sort of an indirect sin. Somebody might not be ready to do the deed themselves, but happy to see it done by others.
Happy to see it done by others. And I liked the contrast of a limerick that's usually used as a joke or a dirty joke, dealing with one of the biggest problems in our society, racism.
Could you read for me the one on page 45?
Page 45. Here it is. This one's called Lust. Why did that one particularly appeal to you?
You read it. I'll tell you afterwards.
Okay, lust. If I could get away with it, I would do it. I think about it all the time. Just before I go to sleep, I chew on it like cud, masticate, taste, roll it around and around inside my mind. The thought reassures me that I'm alive, I guess. I lust, therefore I am. Satisfaction is always temporary. The heat will flame, rise again. The pressure build, the fantasy expand to fill all my consciousness. Then I'm outside myself, beside myself, watching the passion burst. Without question, I will do it if I can. Self-centeredness and escape are simultaneous.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing that struck me about that poem is that, you know, sins are supposed to be something that theoretically you can avoid. Lusting in one's heart seems to be, for most people anyway, just about unavoidable. It's going to happen at some point or another.
Well, I think you have to make a distinction between desire and lust, and the Bible does that. Desire is seen as a good thing, and desire for another person, to get to know a person better, to even make love with them, is seen as a good thing. But if it's lust, it's something that takes complete control of you, and you can't stop it. And if you could get away with it, you would do it.
So you talk about lust as something that's really all-consuming and not
yes.
just a fleeting thought.
That's right. That's right.
There was another poem that struck my attention, and that's on page 81. It's a poem called Pray.
P-R-A-Y. Work out your own salvation, that's in quotations. Work out your own salvation. Be afraid. Tremble. Pray daily. Read the Bible. Go to church. Sing in the choir. 6 days are made for work and then the Sabbath. Serve the Lord. Give tithes and offerings. Study to show yourself approved by God, a worker not ashamed. By works you can be sure to know that you have faith, and as approved by God, can work to add stars to your crown in pride. Don't rest. A favor must always be earned.
Steve, prayer is not supposed to be a sin.
There are all kinds of good things that can become sins depending on whether they take over our life or not, and whether they get out of proportion. And I think praying, if it's seen as a way that's work, that's something you do to gain God's favor, I think that's wrong. And I think God's favor is gracious and comes to all people out of love and cannot be bought.
This seems like it touches on a couple of ongoing debates in Christianity, both the old one of salvation by works versus salvation by grace, and just what prayer is and what the nature of prayer is in the first place.
I think you're right. It raises a lot of questions, and I hope this book does that. I mean, it has a light subtitle, as we've talked about, giving people more bad ideas and ways to sin, and it has some humor in it. I'm happy it has a couple country songs in it and things like that. But it's a serious book that tries to deal with issues that people, I think, are wrestling with. The people of faith, whether Christianity or Judaism or Islam, whatever. I think it's trying to deal with questions people really have.
You've spent a career as a Presbyterian minister. You must have given a lot of sermons where sin was discussed. And did your approach and understanding of the subject of sin change over the years?
Well, I hope I grew and matured and learned new things from parishioners and from friends and from reading, and so I hope so. Some of the poems that I wrote in here, that I included in this book, I actually wrote while I was in college, before I even went to seminary, but I thought they fit. You know, sin can be a lifelong occupation.
And you've been writing poetry for all your life as well.
I have, ever since high school. When I went to Urbana High School, I had some teachers that encouraged us to write poetry, and I actually liked it.
Tell me about what the act of writing it does for you.
Well, I learn what I think when I write something. It becomes clearer to me, or my confusion becomes clearer to me in some cases. I can be moved, and I can get some ideas, and then I try to put them down quickly.